Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Tune into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Victor Benitez. Before we start today's show, I just want to give a special shout out to the DC Public Library Foundation for hosting our last episode with the Poor People's Campaign. Thank you, guys. So on today's show is Notes from the Library. I'm joined by Derek Gray, archivist at the DC Public Library Special Collections Department. Derek is here to talk to us about the library's GoGo Archive that the Special Collections has been creating since 2012. Welcome to the show, Derek.
Thank you, Victor.
Great. So Derek, before we dive into the topic of the conversation, do you want to just briefly tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. My name is Derek Gray. I'm from originally from New York. I've been with the DC Public Library for 10 years now.
Great. And how long have you been an archivist?
Since 2002.
Yeah, great. That's awesome. We're going to be talking about go-go music and particularly about the go-go archive that you've helped started. So are you yourself a go-go fan?
I am now.
You are now? Great. I'll be honest, not being from D.C., I've always thought of go-go as being very similar to funk or just being the same thing as funk music. I guess what makes go-go unique or different than other musical genres?
Well, it is unique to Washington, D.C., and it is a subgenre of funk music. It's a combination of old-school hip-hop, jazz, and some funk. And what makes it unique is it does... unique call and response element to the music, whereas with traditional concerts, people play a song and then there's applause and then there's another song and so forth. With go-go, it just it keeps going and going, so that's where the name comes from. So if you go to a performance, you might applaud for, well, you would applaud for the performer. And then you might not do that again for another hour plus until the show ends. So the music just keeps going and going.
Oh, wow. So it's like kind of very interactive.
Yes.
It's it can be a long kind of jam session.
Yes, in a sense.
Continues.
It's very engaging.
Very engaging.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's listen to a little bit of Bustin' Loose by Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers.
Okay.
That was Bustin' Loose by Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers. Derek, can you just maybe describe what we just listened to?
Bustin' Loose was released in 1978 off of Chuck's album of the same name. And it's just one of my favorite songs and very popular
I mean, just listening to it. Automatically makes you want to dance.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure you saw me moving over here a little bit.
Yeah, same here. So I'll admit, I've only heard of Chuck Brown, like, of his music, but is he a D.C. native? Did he make a living here?
No, he's not. He's not a native. Chuck was from Gaston, North Carolina, and he's pretty much credited with the formation of go-go in D.C. Even though another band, the Young Senators, were before him. And Chuck, just a little bit about him. He moved to D.C. when he was about 6 or 7, I believe. And he never finished school, had a rough life as a youth. And he ended up doing some, never finished high school. And he ended up doing some time for aggravated assault, but then the charge was bumped up to murder, mm-hmm. even though he argued self-defense. But anyway, that's where he developed his love of music, and that's where he got his first guitar. He actually traded cigarettes for a guitar.
So he learned how to play the guitar?
While he was in jail. Yes.
Okay.
And then he came back to D.C., and he worked some odd jobs. He was a bricklayer. He was a truck driver. and he also did a little boxing as well. And then he started playing it on street corners and barbecues. And that's where he really
started his career took off.
Yeah,
that's great. Around what time would you say the peak of his career was? Like maybe 70s, 80s?
No, he is his first. He was with the Los Latinos in 1965, and then in 1968, he formed the Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers.
Okay.
And that lasted for about 10 years.
Okay.
And then he broke away from that group.
Okay. And formed his solo career?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So what were maybe some other players around that time that were in the go-go music scene?
Yeah, well, Chuck was first, but then very soon after, other groups formed, and those are the other prominent go-go bands in D.C. today. Rare Essence is a major one. They've been around since, I believe, 1976. EU, Experience Unlimited, and I remember that band from their hit song, The Butt, from Spike Lee's School Days in 1988.
Okay.
I was in sixth grade. I remember that well. And the others are Trouble Funk and Little Benny.
Little Benny.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we know that go-go started here in D.C. Where were some places where people could go and check out some go-go music?
Anywhere and everywhere.
like I'm sure on the streets, right?
Yeah, on the streets, barbecues, street corners, graduations, ceremonies, everywhere and anywhere. In terms of some of the hot spots, the RFK Stadium was one. The Ibex, I believe. A lot of these places are long gone. They're closed down. But there were a number on U Street and Georgia Avenue. The Panorama Hall is another one, I believe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how about today? Is there still places that cater to go-go audiences?
Very few. I was listening to an interview that gentleman, Andre Whiteboy Johnson, who was with Rare Essence. He spoke on NPR and was asked this question. And according to him, There were about 20 to 25 spots at one time where people could go for a go-go performance. And he said now it's about less than five. Most of the venues I know of are in Maryland, particularly PG County. In fact, there's a all-female go-go band, La Belladonna. I would still want to looking forward to seeing them play. They're in Rockville a lot, for example.
La Belladonna?
Yeah, La Belladonna.
And was the go-go music scene dominated by men?
Yes.
So seeing an all-female group is pretty
very
rare.
Yeah, very, exactly. Very rare and very interesting that this group formed, and I believe they formed in 2015, so they're a very new group.
Yeah, so go-go music, it's a subgenre of funk music, mm-hmm. and it takes from a little bit of, you said, like hip-hop, old school hip-hop, R&B. How has it evolved? Does it continue to take from other music genres?
It's evolved in what I think are some very interesting combinations. For example, I know two gentlemen who are in a go-go group, but it's a gospel go-go group. So it's just very interesting to see how it's transformed from, you know, when Chuck first came onto the scene to now.
Yeah. And I wonder if all that gospel influence, is it still like make you want to groove and dance?
Or is it a little bit more
like spiritual?
Yeah. No.
Great. We've previously talked about the punk archive here. Mm-hmm. DC also has a big punk scene. Did go-go and the punk scene ever kind of cross paths? Were there any musicians that played in both scenes? Were they kind of very separate scenes altogether?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's not very well known. It's not very well documented, but there are some folks who've been in the go-go community who have also been in the punk scene as well. Again, that's something that as I work on this project that I'm trying to flush out a little bit more. I don't know that much about it, but it just makes the fact that we have the Go-Go Archive and the Punk Archive with DCPL that more important.
Right.
Because we're looking to add other genres as well. So punk and go-go are rooted in DC, but we're also looking at jazz. And my personal favorite is reggae, so I've been interested for a long time in the reggae Jamaican dancehall scene in DC because I grew up in a very heavily Caribbean neighborhood back in New York. So
that's awesome. Well, you've started talking about the Go-Go Music Archive, and we know it started in 2012. Mm-hmm. How did it get started?
Okay. when I came to DC Public Library in 2008, I noticed that we had very little on go-go. We had pretty much a small box of oral history transcripts, and that was pretty much it. So after Chuck's passing in May of 2012, we worked with the mayor's office in terms of publicity purposes to announce that we were going to create this archive in honor of Chuck's memory. And looking back, I'll be honest, I regret that the approach that I took was not the best. It was pretty much my idea was, well, it's DC, it's go-go, and folks are just going to knock the doors down with different stuff. That did not happen. So we had a relaunch in 2015. We started talking to folks in the community. We did some exhibits of what we did have and got more publicity, got the media involved. And that was, it was more successful. The rollout was much more successful.
Very cool. So what are some of the things that we can find in the archive right now?
Okay, well, we got a little bit of everything. We have a lot of newspaper articles, reviews. We have ephemera. We have some photos, videos, DVDs. The very first item that we did get, and we've showcased this a lot in exhibits and stuff, is a wire statue of Chuck that a local artist, Arthur Washington, gave us. That was the very first item that we got. And it's just so cool. It's made out of paperclip wire and wood. And we have used it in exhibits. Other organizations in D.C. have borrowed it. So it's really cool. We also have some autographed T-shirts from Rare Essence and Backyard Band. And some drumsticks that Backyard Band donated to us. So some really cool things. Photographs, I'm still working on those. Not that many in the collection, but, you know, it's an ongoing thing. And it's one thing that the project has taught me is to be patient. This Rome was not built in a day, and this Gogo archive will not be either. It's taken a long time, but we definitely have much more than what we did when we first started.
That's great. Would you say that doll that you were describing is your favorite object in the archive, or is there anything else that you really like?
The statue is really cool. I mean, I really wish I could have it here right now to show you, but I love it.
So what are some of the challenges in kind of starting this archive? We're dealing with music licensing. Like, how do you go about solving all these challenges?
I'd say the biggest challenge, a couple. First is learning. I learn as I go. And when I work on it or devote some time to it, I always say to myself, God, I wish I was from D.C. Because not being from here can be a little bit of a challenge because there's things to learn. And fortunately, I've been working with some staff members at D.C. Public Library who are from the area, who know the backstory and so forth. I just give a shout out to Kenny Despert. He's like my partner in this project. It's been great. Also, pretty much building trust with the community. A lot of folks feel that, you know, D.C. is a changing, gentrifying city, and that, quite honestly, Gogo is gone. It's dead. It's not coming back. So when I ask for material, they're like, well, you know, your project is great, but no, you're not getting my stuff. So
people take ownership.
Yeah, games. It's memories for them. It's dear to them, and they don't want to let it go. Although they acknowledge that the project, it's a noble effort. So that's, you know, I have to really convince them, you know, that it's not going to sit in a box on a dusty shelf, and it's going to be used.
Right.
And that we're not a museum, but I want folks to know that it's that it will be used as a research collection, and that's how it's been used so far. So if you're a student or an author or historian or you know, just a fan, come into the library and see this collection and use it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. Yeah. So, I mean, you've probably kind of answered this question already, but why is it important that we have a Gogo archive?
It's important because it embodies DC. You know, it was born here, it's rooted here, and there's no reason why
our collections.
It shouldn't reflect that. And, you know, and it's also fun because, you know, a lot of people don't think of, like, music in special collections or archives. And, you know, that's what makes working on it all the more worthwhile.
Yeah.
But it's very important.
So how might people who are interested in looking at the Gogo Archive or maybe contributing to the Gogo Archive, how can they contact you or where can they go and research?
They can call the archives, 202-727-2272, or they can email me at Derek@DCGray2@DC.gov. So Derek.Gray2@DC.gov. Also, we have a webpage, DCLibrary.org/Chuck Brown. And my contact information is there and also a listing of what we're looking for. Also, I just want to say that we also promote the archive through a lot of programming. So we are working on what we're doing for in August. August is Chuck Brown Day, August 18th this year. And there's always a celebration at Chuck Brown Memorial Park by the Woodridge Neighborhood Library. Okay. Last year we were there, we had a table, talked about the archive, passed out flyers, signed folks up for library cards. Please come. So that's one thing that we're going to be doing. We're also going to be doing some author talks and a Go-Go pop-up museum event. And that's going to be an event where we invite folks to showcase what they have. I will not be asking for donations. It's just an opportunity for
the show and tell.
Yeah, that's really pretty much what it is.
Okay.
And that will be the last Saturday in August. So stay tuned. We're still putting together the calendar programs, but just wanted to promote it that way.
Yeah. Can you remind me again, when was the Chuck Brown Day?
That's Saturday, August 18th from 3 to 6.
Okay. Cool. So, I mean, the library also has a punk archive and there's been some punk shows. Might we ever see maybe a go-go show at the library? Or might that be impossible to do?
Yeah, that's kind of difficult because the bands, they charge a lot.
I'm sure, yeah. The bands are around are big name bands.
Yeah.
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 Well, if any of those bands are listening, like, please come to a library and do a show for us. That would be really fun.
Definitely.
Cool. So maybe let's start talking more generally about your work in Special Collections. I met you at another pop-up event down in Anacostia. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was for our DC 1968 project, and where we were asking, working with a local historian, Dr. Maria McWhorter. She's running a similar project. And that event was it was another show and tell for folks to come out and bring and share their stories. I think it was 1968 to 2018 in the realm of arts and civil rights and politics and so forth. So okay. we also had another one at the Mount Pleasant Library a couple of weeks ago.
Very cool. Yeah. So I'm just thinking back about go-go music. And for me, it's very expressive. It's very fun.
Yeah.
It's almost like the call and response almost seems to come from does that come from protest music or just activism? Where do you know where that might come from or the nature of that?
That's a good question. I think it's just a fun way to engage the audience.
Yeah.
Really.
And just very interactive.
Yeah, very interactive. And that's, you know, I've been to a couple of shows, performances, and, you know, again, you just can't, you know, you can't, you're not a wallflower. You can't be. It forces you to move and really
get involved.
Get involved.
Yeah. That's very cool.
And it's personal. I mean, I've been to somewhere like they'll ask you, you know, ask anybody who has a birthday in the audience or who just maybe, I don't know, graduated from school or something like that, and they'll shout their response and the performer will acknowledge them. So it's very engaging.
Yeah, and it almost seems like it's like the music genre, like the music itself is like a celebration of people in the community.
Right.
Like hearing you say that, like there's interest in getting people's birthdays and graduation, like kind of just celebrating that and everyone's kind of accomplishment in a communal way.
Right.
Seems very interesting to
and
me.
And I think the purpose is, you know, just have a good time.
A good time.
You know, forget your, you know, your troubles or whatever and just have fun. Have a good time and just shake it.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we have music, right?
Right.
It brings people together.
Right, exactly.
And it seems, at least to me, it seems like go-go and funk is kind of a very universal sound. Like, mm-hmm. anyone can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, like, it just, you hear it and you automatically want to dance. Like, you hear those beats.
Right.
And it makes you want to stand up and move. Cool. Derek, is there anything else you want to tell us about your work? What are some of the big gaps that the archive currently has? Like, what are some of artists or things that you would like to see in the archive?
Yeah, great question. There are some, and this speaks to some of the other projects I'm working on. Again, I did mention the other genres that we're trying to add in addition to punk and go-go. So my focus is the reggae scene, because basically this archive is going to be a multi-genre DC music archive. That's really what the main thing is. But also, I'm working on documenting ethnic immigrant communities, mm-hmm. in DC, specifically our Latino and particular Ethiopian community in DC. We have some material on the Latino community, but very, almost nothing on the Ethiopian community. And I just think that's really a shame.
Right.
Considering how long Washingtonian has been around. And also, we do have a small but growing LGBTQ archive that we're looking to enhance and broaden. That's something that's very, very important to me as well.
Yeah. Well, just hearing you talk about your work makes me really proud of the library in the fact that we're looking outward and we're reaching out to communities and really making an effort towards collecting people's stories, people's histories.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important.
Yeah, because, and like I remember in 2012, I did was asked to do like an assessment of the archive, to what we had and what we didn't have. And basically, you know, my approach to all this is, you know, does the DC Community Archives, which is the official name, reflect the community, reflect the city? And unfortunately, like right now, to a certain extent, the answer is no. We've done well and we have some great resources, but I'm not satisfied. We need to do more, and we will.
Right. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. There's so many unique things here in DC.
Exactly.
We often get stuck on just one, on DC as being very specific way.
Right.
But once you're here and you get to learn about the city, there's a variety of musical genres, of art, like all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the library should definitely reflect that.
Exactly. And what keeps me going is, like, I remember this vividly. I was just internet surfing one night and came across some forum online, and it was about DC music. And this one commenter said that there was just no, that DC had no music history. There was no story there. And I was just like, well, okay. And
that person was misinformed.
Yeah, definitely. So I just, you know, think about that and how wrong they are.
Cool. Well, is there any other item in special collections that you think people should check out? Anything outside of in the archive itself, or maybe other archives?
Oh, wow.
It's a very general question.
Yeah, very general question. I really can't. There's so many things in our own collection that are unique and wonderful. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Derek, before we end, is there any other shout outs or anything you want to say?
No, just thank you for this opportunity to speak. And this is really wonderful and great opportunity to promote the archive. Again, look out for our calendar of events. And please consider coming. And also, if you have anything for this archive, please contact me. Thank you.
Yeah, no, and I also want to add to please contact Derek, because we really want to make this archive really rich and representative of everyone. Mm-hmm. The library is doing really great work in collecting, but also taking care of these items. And this is an opportunity for the items to continue to have a life.
Good point. Yeah. I've met and spoken with folks who really honestly don't think that what they have is important. It's a treasure. It is not trash. Don't throw it in the dumpster. No, I'm serious. I mean, people have told me that that's what they want to do. I mean, family papers and, you know, things like that. No, please give it to the library, special collections. Don't discard it.
Yeah, no.
It's your story.
It's very true. Well, Derek, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. This has been an episode of Notes from the Library on DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcast live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Follow us on Instagram at DC Public Library and on Twitter at DCPL. Download this show wherever you get your podcasts by searching for Full Service Radio, DCPL Radio. Thank you for listening and enjoy your afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.